Our scripture lesson for our communion devotional this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you been converted? And that may sound like a ridiculous question to ask a congregation of persons, many of whom have been part of the church all of your lives. But have you been converted? You see, it merits consideration, even if we've been serving the Lord as long as we can remember. Perhaps in this setting, the more accurate question is, have you experienced the realization that Jesus loves you? The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, wrote this in his journal on May 24, 1738, and we consider John Wesley one of the spiritual giants of church history, and among what he says in what I'm about to read, listen to his very first sentence. Reading from his entry, May 24, 1738. In the evening I went very unwillingly. I didn't want to go. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. End quote. This moment changed John Wesley's life. And the results of that change began the Methodist movement and eventually the Methodist Church, to which now we're the United Methodist Church. It's commonly called his Aldersgate experience, and many call it Wesley's conversion experience. Now, many of us have more in common with John Wesley than we think. You see, John Wesley was a third generation clergy person in the Church of England. He had even come to Georgia and served as a missionary to the Indians, at which, I must say, he failed miserably. In a story for another time, he even got ran out of Savannah and he had to run back to England to save his neck. That's why he was on that ship that Putt was just talking about. Even the spiritual giants didn't change appointments always under the best of circumstances. And so at this very low point in his life, he went unwillingly to a meeting. And there he was converted. Now, he was not converted from unbelief to belief. And that's why I opened the sermon the way I did this morning. It was intentional. I didn't change my mind halfway through the paragraph. It was intentional. We can believe in the person of Jesus Christ. We can try to serve the person of Jesus Christ, but we still may not be converted in the sense John Wesley had served. John Wesley had even been a missionary, but it was on May 24, 1738 that he was converted so that he could say, Jesus loves me. Jesus took away my sins. Regardless of how much I try to serve, it's not my service, it's not my ordination, it's not my being a third generation clergy person, it's not my missionary work to the Indians, it's Jesus loves me. And Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me, period. Not if, not because, but Jesus loves me, period. This realization changed the course of his life, the course of his teaching, the course of his preaching, and that is the birth of the Methodist movement. Now, it's quite possible that some of us in this room deal with this very struggle. We are good, honorable, faithful Christians as we know how to be. To the best of our ability, we have loved the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loved our neighbor as ourselves. But even so, there's a nagging of the soul. We struggle with the knowledge that if we're honest with ourselves, we don't even come close to God's standards. Most of us deal with haunting failures in life. Most of us, or I won't say most of us, but some of us struggle that we have not accomplished for the Lord what we feel we should have. I know myself. Now, I know y'all call me a baby because of our age differences sometimes, but I am 58 years old now. And when I look in the mirror, I do not see the 58-year-old that I thought I would see when I was 24, 25. I thought by the time I was pushing 60 years old and I'd been in the ministry, how long have I been doing this? 35 years. See, the memory's already going. By the time I was pushing 60 years old and I'd been in the ministry 35 years, I'd have this stuff lit. My struggles at 58 aren't the same ones as they were at 25. But in my honest moments, I look in the mirror and I say, John, I thought you'd be a whole lot farther along by now. Maybe somebody in this room resembles that remark. And thus the question nags at us. We don't tell anybody else that it nags at us. But the question nags at us in some form. Could Jesus really love me? Now that may not be the struggle for any of you, and if it is not, that is a good thing. But in the event that it is for someone, and I'm in that group, be reminded that in John 3:16 it says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. In Ephesians 2:8, which we just read, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. In Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even if you've been following and serving Jesus for 60 or 70 or 80 years, do you know Jesus loves you? Do you know that He died for your sins? Do you know that Jesus loves you not for what you do, but because you exist? If you've not had that experience, if you've not had that realization, we can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. But I hope your heart and soul are open so that this could possibly be your altar's gate. I hope and pray that even though you may have been striving to be a Christian for many years, and when I say striving, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, you've been doing the best you can to be what you think you're called to be in Jesus Christ. It's been sincere. But in reality, between you and Christ, you know you've been trying to get in on what you do. You've been hoping that somehow in your life you can do more good to outweigh your negatives. I pray that this might be your altar's gate. That you realize this morning, if that's been your struggle, yes, I serve Jesus to the best of my ability, but it's because of what He did for me. It's because He died for me. It's because He took away my sins, even mine. That Jesus loves me because I exist. So if you've not had that realization, I hope that through the sacrament of Holy Communion or something that Jesus has touched you with in these thoughts this morning, that you can say along with John Wesley, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. An assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, You know everybody in this room. And it's my guess, I don't know because I'm not God, but it's my guess that all of us in this room this morning have been striving to serve You. That all of us have been striving to be the people that You call us to be through Your Word. And Lord, You know each heart and each mind and each soul. You know those who have been serving You because of the love that they have already experienced from You. They've already experienced their altar's gate, and they serve You because of the love that they first experienced from You. And You know those that have been serving You out of all sincerity, but have had that nagging hope that somehow the good they do will outweigh the negatives of who they are. And so they serve and they strive, hoping somehow that the positive side finally outweighs the negative side. Lord, may you touch them this morning. May they have that assurance that they are loved by Jesus and Jesus died for them and took away their individual sin. Lord, we can't manipulate your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is like the wind that moves where it will. But I will make the request that if anyone has not had that realization, that somehow in the remainder of this service, you will touch their heart. In John Wesley's words, it will be strangely warm. And then they will serve you because they have first received your love and the assurance of their forgiveness. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning, I remind you that everyone is invited to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion, regardless of church membership or denominational affiliation. And as always, as we gather around the altar, if kneeling is difficult, please feel free to stand. And if any need to be served in your pew, please let the usher know, and we will be glad to serve you there. You'll find your liturgy for Holy Communion on the inside pages of your bulletin insert.